Kia ora, everybody, and welcome back to the Awkward Talks podcast. We are stoked to be at the incredible Matrix Digital Studio, bringing you guys another episode, which I can tell you now, because we're recording this after the episode, is jam-packed full of awkward industry goodness and just a beautiful story. I am here by myself today, and because... Kay tradie ladied a little bit too hard, and unfortunately, she actually got a mecha concussion. So it is just me bringing you the podcast today with the incredible Wallace. And make sure you guys head over to the Instagram and send Kay some love and some get well soon, because Dr. Hecker is now the one that needs a doctor. So yes, love you very much, Kay. I hope you enjoy this episode, and I hope that I did you well on my own. Enjoy.
No mai hoki mai ki te awkward talks. My name is Izzy.
And I'm Kay, and we're two musicians from Wellington, Aotearoa, here to discuss what really goes on in the New Zealand music industry.
That's right. Each week we host open and awkward conversations with musicians, producers, technicians, and other well-known practitioners in the industry.
This podcast is about creating a safe space to help each other out and call each other out. No topic is too awkward.
Welcome to Awkward Talks.
Hello, and welcome back to the Awkward Talks podcast. We are joined today with Wallace.
Kia ora.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very good.
We were just talking a little bit before we jumped on, and I was like, okay, we need to hit record because I feel like this is going to be such like an energetic, full conversation. I would have said in the intro, but missing Kay, who's not here currently, and like tradie ladied a little bit too hard. And,
oh my God, the poor thing.
Yeah. So I will be reading for both of us today. Do you want to give us like a little bit of a mihi? I mean, I could have done like a Google search and just done like a generic, we're talking to Wallace, but that's we're not here for that bullshit. So tell us a little bit about you.
So I am a singer-songwriter, originally born and bred in Wellington. I was away for a little while though. I spent quite a lot of time in Sydney and then London for a teeny bit, and then COVID hit and kind of tried to stick it out for a year, and then there was kind of no end in sight. That was like the start of 2021. So then I was just like, you know what, I think it's time. I think it's time to go back to Aotearoa, and I've just been kind of trying to build my audience here since I've been back, which has been like really special and needed, I think. It was kind of strange. It's weird being a Kiwi in Australia because no one cares.
Okay. Love that.
Let's... I mean, they do. There's definitely people that do. I shouldn't say that. But I don't know, just like having, like building an audience in your hometown and your like home country. It's just like, I think there's... That's really special, and it's
really
like,
beautiful in that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But yeah, I guess, yeah, I've just been performing since I was young, and I used to want to do musical theatre, and I've just kind of been living the crazy artist life for a minute now. So.
Amazing. We'd love to hear that. We'll jump a little bit more into like your background, but we do this thing at the beginning of each podcast, just a bit of a weekly wrap, you know, just like getting to know each other a little bit, getting into it. How has your week been?
It's been good so far.
Yeah.
I mean, Monday, it's great. But like, but last week, last week, I had a really fun week. I did I wrote a song with Louis Baker last year.
I saw something on the Instagram.
Yeah, so we made a music video for last Tuesday, which was so fun. Really great crew. We were working with Tom Groot from, he's from up in Auckland. And he was just the most beautiful director. It was really lovely, just really nice crew.
That's so nice.
And I didn't have to do too much acting, which is good because it's not my forte.
It's coming from a musical theatre kid.
I know that. I mean, that's why I didn't pursue it pretty much.
That's so cool. Yeah. Are we allowed to know about the song?
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say no.
But we should double check
that.
There's a song.
Well, I performed it with him at... jazz festival last year.
Okay.
So it's not too secret.
Okay. Yep.
But yeah, there will be a song coming out soon, hopefully.
Exciting.
Yeah, I think they're hoping to get it out before he goes on tour with Fat Freddy's in the UK.
Yeah, I did hear about that. That's super cool.
Oh, so cool.
Jealous.
Yes. So jealous.
Take up with you, Louis. With
you. You need me to do you need me to do our song, right? Yeah.
Just tours UK for just one song. That's kind of iconic, to be honest. That's I really hope let's manifest that for you.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Cool. So it's been a good week.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a really jam-packed week last week, but it was like, I can't remember anything that happened. We had our first team meeting last week as like a little podcast team.
Oh, great.
That was just really cute. Both Kay and Robbie told me I was a shit boss. No, I'm joking.
Got to step up your game, though.
But yeah, we've been having quite a few people reach out about the podcast, which is really cool, and some exciting collaborations with people in the works.
Awesome.
Which is also really exciting. Oh, and just a little personal win that I'll share is that I finished a song. I finished a song to be in an EP, and Robbie just looked at me like, what are you talking about?
Oh, that's awesome.
I've been working on an EP for like my entire life, you know.
Just, I do know. Yeah. I know that vibe.
You know.
Absolutely.
So we've like actually finally finished one song, but it was where you're like, okay, we need to put this aside before we do too much or change it too much. So
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a win.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was really nice.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah, There's nothing better than finishing a song.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm done with this one.
Yeah, moving on. Awesome. Yeah. And then you start all over again. You're like, fuck.
Yeah, okay. Oh my God. Yeah.
We're actually still so far away from where we're meant to be. Let's actually dive a little bit more into your background, because I think it's really cool. One of my favorite things is listening to like musicians or just creatives in general story, because there is no one way to get where you want to be.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I feel like there is a real common misconception of like there has to be this cookie cutter step-by-step guide on how to find like your version of success in the industry, but it's just not true. So talk to us a little bit more about your background and how you got to being Wallace and who Wallace is today.
Well, like I said before, I started doing musical theatre when I was younger. I played Cosette. That was my first role, I think.
I was Madame Thénardier.
Oh my God, amazing. it's just like, there's something about musical theatre. I really, really love it. And I love the team aspect to it. Like, it's just, you're all really working hard towards this goal. And you only get to do it for like a couple of weeks and then you're done. And it's just, it's always like really amazing little pockets of time. I did obviously a lot of singing when I was younger and dancing. I'm a terrible actress. So I kind of realised that in my teens that maybe it wasn't going to be the right thing for me. But I've always kind of carried on dancing a little bit.
Mm.
But the music was the thing that just came, it just felt the most natural to me. It was maybe around the age of 13 or so, I started doing this thing it was run by Vic Uni at that point, called Academy, which was like, they had jazz students and classical students. You had to audition to get in, but it was all university lecturers, and it was just through high school.
Yeah.
So I was very dorky. Like pretty much my whole Saturday was spent there, and just working with like university lecturers on jazz, and I just like fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And I think musical theatre ties back as well, because like a lot of my favourite musical theatre is like the really old ones. Like Singing in the Rain used to be my Hotmail email address, singinginderain@hotmail.com.
Does it still exist?
Maybe. It might do.
I'll send you an email, babe.
Yeah, send me an email. There's lots of underscores. Yeah. it's so long and ridiculous. I just kind of started to really get into jazz. Yeah. My dad's... he's always been really into blues and soul and everything, so it's kind of felt like a natural progression. Like in high school, I was just that kid that would be, you know, listening to Sarah Vaughan walking up to school on my iPod, and then like quickly changing it to like Beyoncé or JT, who I like loved.
Yeah.
to like seem a bit cooler. But yeah, I've just kind of always been into jazz and then studied it for a little bit at uni. Didn't quite finish my my degree. But yeah, and then I guess from there, I think once you get to a certain level of singing, you start wanting to explore other genres a bit more. Yeah. And got really into neo-soul and hip-hop. And my music's kind of lives in a space in between all those things. I love house music and electronic music. And I think maybe there's an element of things where I should be honing in on one certain thing a bit more. But I don't know. I don't want anyone to feel left out. I did a lot of covers and things when I was in Sydney. And then I had a really good friend who encouraged me to start writing.
Yeah.
Which I think had always been, it's a scary thing because you kind of work on your voice for so long and then you get to a certain point and people are like, oh, that's cool, but like, where are your songs? I was like, I'm not a composer. I don't know the first thing about doing that. But that's turned into my favourite part of what I do now.
Oh, and
I can be a little bit shy and a bit private, and it's been a nice way to like be a bit more vulnerable and I don't know, like realize I got some feelings and stuff.
I love that. I love that's the thing that I took away from that story is that like because I was going to ask you, you know, where your vocal influence came from, especially, you know, musical theatre and like the tone, the beautiful like jazz soul inspired tone that you have now is like quite a difference in terms of you're thinking about like the classical tone of those two places. But your development as a musician, as a singer, it seems like it's woven so beautifully and perfectly into where you are in your life and like where you are physically, but also, you know, maybe mentally and emotionally in terms of like your growth as a person. So I think that's like your music is almost like a written storybook of who you are, which seems really cool.
Oh,
and it's really reflected actually in your album, which you released last year.
Last year, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And that was your debut album.
Debut album. I'd released an EP prior to that. That was kind of I just squished some singles together. So this was like my first body of work. COVID kind of messed up. Like I probably would have come out quite a lot sooner had COVID not happened. You know, I think everyone got got railroaded by that.
We can just like put a big old black line
Two and a half years or so. It's really, really exciting to kind of have a full body of work to my name. And there's such a appetite for people to just release singles because you're getting the same amount of traction out of one song as you're getting out of a whole thing. But I think as an artist, it's a really special thing, like having, you know, getting vinyl made and having like being able to physically touch something that is so abstract was something really, so I'm such a visual person.
Yeah,
and it was just really special to kind of like open up my vinyl and be like, oh, look at you all. All 150 of you. Hope I sell them. That was really exciting. And I think with the first big body of work that you do, it does span quite a few years because you're like building up to that for like there's more of a urgency about the second album and the third album and stuff. But that first one can be a little bit special because you don't, you know, I feel like the clock starts once you've released that. I'm really happy with it. And it's nice kind of some of the songs I'd written quite a while ago. Mm. So they're kind of new to me again, which is kind of
really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really special.
Yeah. I'm finding actually like similar in my process right now is that like I had songs that I – years and years old, right?
Yep.
And you kind of go through this wave of like, oh my God, they're totally irrelevant now. Like, what am I going to do with these? But, you know, there's also this sense of like, oh, I have to be really true to these stories that like, they may not represent me now, but they represented me at some point in my life. And that's still, really valid to that version of me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I totally understand where you're going.
And sometimes it's nice to have that little bit of distance from something you've written, because you kind of don't actively. Well, I feel like that a lot now when I'm performing. I forget that I've written some of them.
Mm.
Like, I'll often just forget some of my lyrics. And I'm like, go back into my notes app. Like, what was that again?
You reference Wellington, so you're from Wellington, and you reference Wellington quite a bit in the album.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up in Wellington? I feel like, because your dad's quite involved in the music scene as well.
Yeah.
So you were really like in it from day one. What was that like, and how do you think that that's really shaped you in terms of an artist?
I think Wellington's a really unique city because it's, although it's big enough to like be considered a city, and there's heaps going on, and it's got a really rich cultural kind of like heritage, I guess. It's still small enough that you get opportunities that you wouldn't elsewhere, which I think is really important. Like when I was younger, like coming up through that academy thing during high school, and even like my first year at uni and things, you're able to like ask your tutors and stuff to do gigs with you. You know, that's just, there's not as many gigs going around, and there's not this like hectic hierarchy with that, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Because you like, there's this amazing drummer called Ruben Bradley who now lives in Brisbane. But he was in the scene, and he was like in his 30s or something, and I loved playing with him because he would always really push me. He'd be like, right, scat solo, and he'd say it loud enough for like the rest of like some of the audience to hear it, so I like had to. No, I don't really do that anymore, but just like having people really pushing you like you're maybe in a class or something. And I just learned so much on those early gigs, which was like just invaluable. And then, you know, the landscape and the weather and everything, like, it definitely...
It's like its own being. Wellington is its own personality.
It really is. And whenever anyone comes from out, like, comes to Wellington for the first time, there is something special about it, in the way that it's, like, even just the way it's laid out and it's all, like, kind of circular and, like, looking into the harbour and I don't know. And I was... I grew up in Brooklyn, up on the hill, and it's obviously windy at the best of times wherever you are in Wellington, but when you're right up on the hill that's got a windmill on it.
Oh my gosh. Blown away.
It's a lot, and it kind of, I don't know, it just sticks with you. So I've got, there's like one of my songs, A Fond Kiss, which is actually, I forget what the term is for it, but like when you, I've taken the title of another song.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an old Scottish track that was written by a poet called Robbie Burns. My dad's from Scotland, and so I've always had a really strong connection to that as well. And I used, like, borrowed quite a few of the lyrics. But the song's called A Fond Kiss, and it's all about, like, kind of missing someone and missing home and those kind of things. Well, I guess the song is more about missing someone, but I kind of switched it so it's home.
Yeah.
And, the lyrics are A Fond Kiss and then We Sever. And then
pulls I've kind of just
been like, yeah. What were they again? But then I switched it and it's like gone for now, but not forever. So it's kind of like, I will return, which I have.
Yeah. So you wrote that when you were overseas?
I did.
Yeah.
A lot of the ones I wrote about Wellington were while I was away.
True.
And I've written a song called Pantone Home about my mum is amazing and very creative person, and she's just decorated our house in the most bizarre, bonkers way. We've got a room that's yellow with like an old bright red Art Deco lounge suite. She's got so many amazing pieces. And like, I've just always been surrounded by colour and stuff. So that was about me missing home. And she always say whenever anyone would stay over, she'd be like, I'll leave the light on so you can see, like, because there's so much stuff everywhere.
Like, sounds like my mum.
She's bound to, like, bang into something. So, yeah, I kind of included that in the song. And I don't know, I was very homesick for a few years there. So, but that's now really I'm just sweet. Like, oh, whatever. Yeah. I'm back now.
Yeah, when you're in Wellington, you're like, psh, and then you leave. Yeah, like,
get this wind out of my face.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Do you have a favourite memory, like being a part of the music community, I guess? Is there like a poignant moment that really steps out in your mind?
Oh. Oh, wow.
Taking you back.
Yeah. It would probably be an early one. I mean, one of my first, actually, my primary school, we did a school play. I think I was five. I think I just started. And they couldn't shut me up. Like, I just loved singing. And they gave me one of the main roles. Like, for most of the play, I was asleep. I was called Lazy Lottie the Queen. And I'd just, like, wake up and go, morning, boys, what's for lunch? But I had a couple of solo songs that I had to do. But I couldn't actually read yet because I don't even at school for a little bit. So I had to learn all my lines, like, just by memorising them.
Yeah, wow.
But I don't know whether I can remember things from it or whether, because there's a video
right,
of it.
Right, okay.
But that was just, I think that was my first time being on stage and being like, the lights are on me, I've got a tiara on, like, this is where I want to be.
Boys are making me lunch.
Yeah, like, boys are making me lunch. I'm having a wee sing. I've got a tutu on. All is well. Oh, yeah, I think, like, early days is definitely, like, singing and dancing and performing just all together.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's like the recipe for a fantastic childhood, in my opinion.
Yeah. It was pretty fun.
For a fucking crazy child. Yeah. Sorry, mum and dad. But
sorry about it.
No, I'm very much the same.
What about you? What was yours?
Oh, I actually had a very similar experience in primary school. And we were doing this, like, really weird play. Like, we were all aliens from the future or something. And I wasn't singing. Like, I didn't even speak one line. But I had this part where we had, like, these, like, sunglasses on and, like, little antenna things.
Yeah.
And my job was to, like, discover the world for the first time. And, like, it was in a school hall and the stage was up the front. And my job was, like, to walk in the door when, like, this dramatic music was playing and, like, pretend like I was discovering the world for the first time. And, like, everyone, like, walked down the middle of the aisle of the entire audience.
Yeah.
And in that, like, when I got given that, I was like, I'm made for the stage, baby. That's me done.
I'm going to lead everyone into this new world and it's going to be amazing. Yeah,
didn't even say one line and I was, like, I'm the star of the show. Like,
love it.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful story into the making of Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a bit of a day in the life now.
Ooh. So I've always subsidised my music habit with the hospitality. So I've always, I don't know, I totally get people who teach and who do weddings and all that kind of stuff to, but I just, I don't know. Well, I've never taught because I don't play anything. I don't play piano. I feel like it's good to be able to accompany your students if you're teaching singing. But I've just never really done a lot of that. So I don't know. I like being able to just check out and, like, have some time away from music and have some friends that aren't necessarily in the music scene because most of my mates are. And it's really nice going to work and they're like, what are you doing on the weekend? I was like, oh, I've got a couple of gigs. And they're like,
whoa.
Oh, it's so exciting. And they're like, oh, it's just like a background jazz gig. But yeah, cool. Yeah, no, it is exciting. I've been working quite a lot since I've been back, just trying to get the funds up for the next album. But I also do graphic design work for people. I started off doing that, must have been about 10 years ago or so now. I've always done lots of art and things. But, it was just like, why am I paying someone else to do a poster for me when I can just learn the software?
Yep.
And now it's just kind of turned into, you know, a really good side hustle, do lots of things for other musos. Nice. And it's kind of getting to the point now where I'm doing it for kind of friends of friends and other small businesses and things. Which is really cool. And that's an amazing thing to, like, be able to do when I'm on the road and I just need a laptop. So
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and then, you know, try and it depends, you know, what I've got on, but I always try and do something musical, you yep. know. Like last week was really nice, like having a full day of doing a music video. Just like, oh, I'm a musician.
Yeah, it reminds you.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, it's a hard industry and sometimes you do all these things to subsidize it, and sometimes it pulls you away from feeling like that is your purpose.
Yeah.
So, I've been trying to write a little bit more recently. Set some time aside. I'm good at writing to a deadline for other people if I'm featuring on something, or if I'm just writing for other people. But for my own stuff, I find it a little bit harder to make time. So I've been trying to be a little bit more...
intentional.
Yeah, intentional is the word for sure. Like just set aside a little bit of time, even if I'm not feeling it particularly, just like doing something.
That first like word on a page, or like picking up the guitar, playing that first chord or whatever it is, is like the hardest mountain you'll ever climb as a creator. So it's like putting pen to paper is the hardest bit. And then as soon as you're going, you're going. Yeah, but
once you get into it, you're fine. And I think I always had a bit of a chip on my shoulder about not being able to play things. Now I kind of tend to work with a lot of producers and they send me beats and things, which is great. But I was just talking to a young singer the other week about writing, and she didn't play anything either. And I was like, you know what you gotta do? You just gotta go on Spotify and just look for instrumental things. It's just like, I'm gonna write a top line to a Dilla track. Or, you know, and then you can take it away and completely reharmonize it, and it can be a different thing. But like sometimes I'll just put on some of my favourite producers. I love, there's a guy called Knowledge that's on Stone's Throw. Like really wonky, really wonky beats. And sometimes I'll just put on that. Wonky and then if beats. I start singing, if I start like singing along and something comes to me, I'll just kind of jot it down on my voice memo or whatever. Just kind of even like setting time aside to like play, I guess. So I guess that's kind of a day in the life. I love reading. I tend to read a lot.
What are you reading right now?
That's a bit embarrassing.
Come on, it's awkward talks. I'll tell you if you tell me.
I literally just finished it. I just took it back to the library. A Court of Thorns and Roses.
I've
been hearing so many things about it, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do some.
Is it as good as it everyone says?
I didn't realise it was a young adult when I was going into it. So it was like a little bit, it started off a bit slow. But I love a fantasy.
Yeah.
So it was fine. I've heard that like the second one's really good.
Are you going to go in for seconds?
I don't know. I'm considering it. One that I did read recently that I loved was Greta and Velden.
Oh.
Have you read that?
No.
Oh, it's a debut novel by now I can't remember her name, but it's a young girl up in Auckland.
Oh, wow.
And it's set in Auckland. There's like a little bit that happens in Wellington.
Yeah.
And she actually goes on a bus. She catches a number 7 up to Brooklyn. And I'm I know that road. That's my route. But the writing is just so funny. And it's from two different people's point of views. Each chapter kind of switches. But, yeah, highly recommend it. I've been seeing it in Unity and stuff. There's been big stands of it. And I was like, I've got to read that at some point.
Are you, like, a strict fiction reader?
Yeah. I try and do nonfiction every now and then, but I just, my mind wanders a bit. I'm definitely a fiction girl.
Nice.
What are you reading?
Mine's even more embarrassing than that. Mine is You Are a Badass at Making Money by someone.
It sounds
something,
great.
Someone. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. It's like a bit of a self-help with like a money mindset twist.
Amazing.
Which I think is very helpful when you're a musician and all you're told is like be a broke musician and you're like, okay.
Yeah, like, oh, I've got to do that to be a real artist. And it's like, No, you don't.
No,
you have a bit of stability. I've been speaking on podcasts.
Oh.
Have you checked out The Curve?
No.
It's two chicks up in Auckland. One worked in finance. I think she's just quit to do The Curve full time, which is awesome.
Oh, that's so
she's a badass like finance lady, And then the other one knows nothing about finance, and she's just teaching her about it. It's so good. I've got my KiwiSaver sussed. I've started investing. I'm like, it's really changed the way I, because I've always been a bit scared of all that kind of stuff. I just haven't known much about it, but highly recommend it.
Are you on that like Sharesies game? Is that
sure am?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually inspiring to me. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like when you're doing music and stuff, no one talks to it.
No one talks about
money. Because oh, you're poor, you've got no money. And yeah. It's like, yeah, I know, but maybe I want to put like $100 in my KiwiSaver so I have something when I'm 70.
I find like the whole conversation around money in general really interesting. But also, when it comes to being a creative person and musician, it's like, everyone assumes that, oh, you're never going to make money, so therefore you don't need to know about money. Mm. And so we're just like, I went to a whole like degree and like loved it, had a really good time, but came away from that and am now working for an accounting firm.
Oh, right.
Actually, Julie Lamb.
Oh, love her. Just around the corner. Yeah, great. oh, that's so good. Yeah. Wellington's very small.
Yeah, so small. but yeah, working there and having some mentoring from her, and I'm like, oh my God, there is so much that I feel like I should have been taught, but wasn't.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we're just kind of like brushed over as musicians and like, even just down to like how to send an invoice. Like, we're not even given the tools on how to like effectively get money. So how are we expected to get money, if that makes sense?
Oh, there's so many things that you just learn along the way. I remember the first time I sent an invoice, I did this random gig up at the Copthorne on Oriental Parade. And I think I was like 17 or something. And I'd just done like a background jazz thing. And they were like, cool, can you send me an invoice? And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, oh, just like jot down like how long you played for and blah, blah, blah. But I just sent it in an email. I didn't even send like a PDF or anything. It was just, I should go back and try and find that email. It was so funny. Excuse me, what's an invoice?
If you send it to us.
It was before, I'm showing my age now, but before you just kind of thought to Google something. Yeah. Like, how do I do this? Or a template or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, even like some people that I work with that send me an invoice, I'm just like, come on, guys. There's not even an invoice number on it.
Yeah.
Don't you want to track these things? Yeah. I'm a very organized person. Yeah. I've started, another thing, Henry is this, obviously, go to an actual accountant. Sorry,
we have that.
Oh my God.
We have heated conversations about this.
Kill me.
No, keep it in there. She'd love it. She actually blatantly said to me the other day, she's like, no, I don't listen to podcasts. I asked her, I was like, did you listen to the recent episode? And she was like, no, I don't listen to podcasts. And I was like, oh, it was about this. And she's like, great, you've already told me I don't need to listen to it. I was like, thanks, Jules. So yeah, she won't know.
You won't know. But yeah, if you feel like you can't afford to get an accountant, it's also just a really good way to have all your invoices in one place.
Yes.
And
it's such a great expenses. Starting point.
Yeah.
Especially if you like have no idea what you're doing and you're like, oh my gosh, I've got all these random jobs coming up. Maybe I should be doing something with it. 100% jump on Henry.
Yeah.
But definitely like going to an accountant, they just know so much and like can give context to what you're asking as opposed to just like you punching in numbers and just assuming that everything's being done for you.
Yeah.
I love a good money tangent.
I think like there's just so, I don't know, some people find it really, I guess because I've never really had a lot of money. Yeah. I'm just pretty transparent about it.
Yeah.
I know some people just don't feel that comfortable, but I'm quite happy like saying how much you get paid for gigs and stuff. Like I think it's really important for like,
potentially us all
getting a bit more for gigs, you know? I think it's when people hide things away that it gets a little bit iffy. And
100%. Like if we, you know, talking to people about gigs, you will have like, I've been in a couple of situations where you're like hiring people or like have been, you know, working with people who are hiring people for gigs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the like booking person will reach out to them and be like, hey, you know, what's your fee?
Yeah.
And the band will come back to them and be like, oh, you know, it might be a younger band. Like, oh, we'll just do it for free.
Yeah.
And like this booking person is like, no, Like, absolutely not. You will not do it for free. Because, you know, as a band, I understand, or as an artist, I understand the thing of, like, oh, I don't want to piss anyone off. I want to be, like, a really good, you know, musician, and I want to get hired again. Oh, the only way that's going to happen is if I'm really cheap. But actually what you're doing is, like, you're underselling yourself. And so if someone's booking you for a gig and they're putting in all this effort to make a really good gig and you're like, oh, I'm only worth $0, like, why would they hire you?
Yeah, and honestly makes you look more professional as well.
Yeah, if you, say your worth.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, obviously if you don't go, like, crazy, but I feel like there's, like, I'm only starting to get a bit more confident with that kind of stuff. Like, it's obviously a little bit harder when you're doing original music. Like, sometimes you have to, like, if you're doing supports and stuff, there's not a lot of money in that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a thing. And sometimes you are kind of weighing up exposure over, because those gigs can be really good for, like, getting a new audience.
Yeah.
You're being in front of a whole new audience, you know. But, you know, if it's kind of more of a bread and butter thing, then, ask for what you want to, you know, to have, to not be able to spend that Saturday night doing something that you know, something else. Like, I don't know, I'm getting a little bit more bolshy.
Yes, yes, I love that. Yeah. I love that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just the bare minimum of, like, just work out, you know, how many people are in your band, or, like, who do you have to pay?
Yeah.
And what's the bare minimum that you can pay them at, like, a respectful rate?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, taking into account, like, you know, parking and petrol and, you know, there's, I think, you know, by all means, don't be turning down everything. But, yeah, I think there's just, like, there's a worth in that, you know.
And don't be afraid to learn more about money if you're a musician or if you're a creative person and you're like, I'm meant to be broke forever. Like, no, there are ways, and there's, like, a lot of empowerment, I think, in education when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, when I first came back, I was checking in with some of my friends, being like, okay, cool, you know, how much do, because I'm working with session musicians for the music I do, like, they're definitely in my band, and I love them to bits, but at the end of the day, like, I'm paying for all the stuff, so, you know, just, like, checking with my peers about, you know, what they're charging for, what they're paying for rehearsal time and gigs and stuff. And just being aware of that, and, like, I know, like, at the stage I'm at, I can't always afford to pay my band as much as I want to, but they're aware that I'll scale it whenever I'm getting, and they've said, you know, might be like, you know, 100 extra bucks for that gig because I'm getting paid more for it. So I like to be kind of transparent about that stuff, and it's like creates just a nice environment if they're not being like, you know, having to ask about those things, you know, like, it, because money is awkward. So I try and just get it all out the way in a very, like, professional email.
Where
my band always laugh at me because I'm such a colour code everything.
Oh, I love that.
Like, all the important flight information will be in bold, and then some of it will be coloured so that they can easily see. Like, I'm such a dork.
When you replied to my email and you're like, oh my God, I love info, I was like, you're speaking language.
Yeah, and it was all, like, paragraphs and, like, some italics, and it was great. I love it.
Yeah, I'm getting into, like, creating PDFs for different specific things, and
then you can just fire them off. Yeah.
So much easier. When you streamline your admin process. Oh,
so good.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that tangent. That was a great tangent. You know, we really like to ask guests who are coming on the podcast, what do they want to speak on? And I really appreciated what you said, because it actually isn't something that's come up yet, but you said you wanted to talk about being a supporter and an active member of your community. So I kind of want to dive into that a little bit more. What does that mean to you? What does being an active supporter mean to you? And also, could you maybe give, like, for context, a little bit of a definition of, like, community and, and what you mean by that?
Yeah, so I guess I'm meaning the music community. Maybe the arts community is a wider thing as well. you know, just giving people shout outs if they've like, if someone's released a new song or something, like there's such simple stuff that we can do to help yep. out our friends, or that people that aren't musicians can do to help us out without having to spend any money.
Mm.
It's like just commenting on our Instagram posts, even just reacting to stories. Mm. Like, it, you know, if you comment, then that's amazing. But, like, if just all those algorithms, it sounds so stupid, but it really helps
so important.
In building all of that. Also, like, I'm a real advocate for if you're doing a headline gig, like, meeting and talking to your support acts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I've done so many support gigs for, like, artists that I really admire.
Yeah.
And they just didn't even, like,
yep.
give me, like, a second.
Mm.
And I know, like, you know, there's some... I'm not name drop anyone, but there's been definitely a couple of times where it's just been amazing.
Yeah.
Meeting, like, actually, Rag and Bone Man, I got to support him.
True.
It was a random last-minute thing.
Yeah.
And they got me to fly down to Melbourne. So it was, like, a whirlwind thing. And I didn't get to actually meet him, but he took a photo of me from side of stage and, like, posted it on his Instagram and, like, gave me a shout out. And I was like, are you serious? Like, he had yeah. a, you know, it's obviously a huge team, and I didn't get to meet him after I performed, but I was just like, that meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who are just, like, lesser well known, and they just like, actually they're way too cool. And, like, just ignore you completely.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't want to be that kind of musician. Because, like, we're sharing the stage and we're sharing an audience.
Mm.
And I think that's a really powerful thing. And you're sharing a vibe and an energy in the room. So that's one thing I'm a real stickler for.
Audiences can feel that too. Like, when performers interact with each other, it feels like so much more of a cohesive event that you're going to.
Yeah, and it feels like if you're headlining and you've kind of... curated, like, sometimes you, if it's an out of town gig and you've got a local act to come and play, you might not know them or whatever, but, like, even just a gesture of, like, making sure that in your set you're like, hey, like, how good were blah blah blah, you know. So I'm all for that. And then I think just kind of, you know, and I know we're all really busy, but if your friend's got a gig on that looks really cool, like, go along, buy a ticket. Don't, you know, like, I know we're all poor, but, you know, when everyone's, like, asking to be on the door, it's like, can you just spend $10 to come and see?
Please.
You know?
Just please.
It's one drink.
Yeah.
You're going to come in.
Two coffees.
You're going to come in and buy a drink anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, merch and stuff if you can afford to get it. But, like, there's so many things that you can do online that are free to help out your mates. Like, I normally try and make a playlist whenever I release a new song and, like, have my song at the front, at the start, but then have a bunch of stuff I'm listening to, but make sure that quite a lot of it is other
artists
that I
know. Yeah, that's a really cool idea, actually.
Yeah, and it's just, like, a nice way to get your audience, you know, to check out some other stuff that you...
or if you like these guys, then my stuff is kind of like this, or...
Exactly. Yeah, and then
interaction.
Yeah, and then, like... putting it in a story, be like, hey, I got this new playlist, and then, like, tag your friends rather than, like, tagging, you know, Erica Badu. Like, she's cool. she's got his followers. It's like, just that kind of stuff can be so simple and free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Why do you think it's so important to have that kind of connection with your community?
I think just having the support of other people that are doing this hard, like, often, you know, unappreciated thing. Not unappreciated, I don't know, because we get validation from people clapping and things, but it's, you know, it's a weird life, and even though we're, like, performing in front of a bunch of people, hopefully, and you're getting that kind of vibe, it's also can be quite lonely when you're creating the stuff, and I think it's just nice. Like, I've had some great conversations with friends here about, how lonely it can be.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just building those, you know, if you're struggling with something, just like having other people that are kind of going through the same thing that you can talk to about it. And because it's such a unique thing we do, and it's really, you know, it's really special, and it's also hard to describe to other people that aren't doing it. So it's just nice to have that baseline of people that get it.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think I, like, if I was to give any kind of advice to someone who's maybe not in the industry, mm-hmm. And is your friend or like wants to support you, if you have a friend that is a musician or creative and you want to like catch up with them and talk to them, ask them like what they're working on right now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe don't go like, when's the next gig? Because that's that always gets me going. Like, when are you releasing all of this work? It's like, you know, what are you working on right now? You know, what are you feeling really excited about right now? What are you stuck on?
Mm.
Like, listening to your creative friends and actually like wanting to understand what it is they're working on is so validating for an artist or for a musician. Mm. I feel, because there's all of this like intent and like sometimes, you know, years worth of writing and journeying and experiencing things to create this work that you put into like a nice, pretty media campaign, and it all looks really great and maybe it has a theme behind it, but you don't, unless you have like 7 hours worth of a podcast like this where you can unpack the entire thing, you don't really get an opportunity to share that long form story.
Yeah.
So it means so much when like when my friends talk to me about like the nitty gritty of what I'm doing, and I can just be like, fuck, I'm really stuck on this one song and I feel like it's not coming across or whatever.
And it's so much more interesting.
Yeah.
Than like, oh yeah, oh, I think I've got a gig in like a month or so. Like, let me check my calendar. It's just like, that's not where the magic happens. Yeah. You know, well, it is, but it's a different kind of magic. Mm. It's not your day-to-day magic.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. I feel like there is a little bit of, I guess, like duality in, there's a lot of duality in the music industry, let's be real. But like when it comes to like your friends and, you know, your circle of other creatives, how do you combat, because everyone feels it, let's be real, how do you combat the feeling of like, I love you, but I'm also acutely aware of the fact that I'm like, quote unquote, competing against you? Like, I feel like New Zealand is really small, and we're constantly fed the story of it's really small, you know, supply and demand isn't there, and there's only so many stages. And I feel like that can put tension on your relationships with your other creative friends. How do you navigate that?
It's hard. I've struggled with it a bit. Like, seeing, you know, when someone else is doing really well and you just see the, like, the track of their career compared to yours, like, I think that's a really natural thing. Mm. But if I guess, oh, that's a really good question. I guess just kind of not shying away from it, but like still just being supportive regardless. Going to their gigs, because like a lot of the time that jealousy can come from really liking the music yourself, and it's just like, no, I want to listen to that music. And there's and I think it happens a lot with chicks, because we feel like there's even less space for us, you know. It kind of feels like that's changing a bit now, but especially if you're like, there's a couple of you doing the soul thing, or there's a couple of you doing the rock thing, or a couple of you doing like the folk thing, or and I feel like other people kind of pit you against each other as well. And it's just, I guess, kind of stepping back from that and being like, I love this person, I love their music, and just supporting them regardless. Because I think, those can be really tricky to navigate, but just trying to push through it a bit. I think being self-aware about it is like the first step of it.
Yeah.
And not kind of like actively not engaging with the music they're making if it is something that you like.
It's really funny, eh? Like, it's out, like, it's actually a good thing.
It's,
you
a
know,
great
like
thing.
when you feel quote unquote jealous about someone, you're like, most of the reason is because you wish you were doing it yourself, or you think it's really cool. Which can be so powerful in terms of like motivating yourself, inspiring you to maybe try out something new, or like, really, I mean, I find shifting into like the really positive aspects of it can be super helpful.
Yeah. Or if you're seeing people get opportunities that you want, like do some research and like, or jot down the, you know, if you've seen someone's been played on a UK radio or whatever, it's just like, go actively like suss out who's playing them and then be like, cool, I'm going to pitch them my next song.
Yeah.
Like trying to turn those into opportunities for yourself.
Yeah.
Being like, I want to play that venue. Yeah. That's great. Like, hit them up. Like,
I'm a huge fan of like cold emailing and messaging people. Just be like, hey, I just saw that you did this. You know, how did you do that?
Yeah. Can you give me an email, please? Yeah,
can you give me an email? Yeah. Because 9 times out of 10 people will help you. That Absolutely. 1 time out of 10, they'll just ignore you and like, that's fine, move on to the next one. But often people are so ready and willing to help out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and I think, especially in the New Zealand, landscape of music, it's it's a bit easier to kind of like get those emails and stuff because you'll know someone that knows someone for sure.
There's only so many someones.
Exactly. And you don't need to be like real intense about it, but like just send your mate an email or even just like send them like a Facebook message or something like less formal. Or, you know, anytime you can get an intro, it's the best. But, like, I think just kind of if you're jealous of opportunities and stuff, just kind of be like, right, what's something that I can actively do to get myself closer to that goal or whatever. And so, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out, but there's nothing worse than feeling jealous. It just feels horrible. And, like, you can't avoid it sometimes, but... Mm. Yeah.
But taking some kind of action can like move that energy somewhere else.
Yeah.
And like taking a step out of it and being like, okay, I can do something about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that actually takes us into like the next point I wanted to talk to you about, because you mentioned in your email about networking.
Mm.
And like a similar kind of duality in that, like in New Zealand, particularly, or I guess like internationally as well, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is like everyone like really wants to help each other out, and like really the industry comes down to like we do want to help people out, but I feel like there's like, I'm always acutely aware of I want to support you and like be really chill and help you out, or you know, just have a conversation, but I'm also really acutely aware of like any relationship could be the relationship that like makes it happen. How do you navigate, I guess, from New Zealand, like taking that on an international scale? How have you found like navigating that relationship and doing the networking?
I mean, I always find it a bit hard. I'm, you know, classic Kiwi. I'm just like, you know, I sing a bit, and it's like,
just a little bit,
you know, it's like, no, I'm proud of what I do. And I, you know, but it's hard to do. I don't know. I don't have a natural personality for that. I think just being, I think especially as a chick, like you've got, and I got this superpower, just like you can just be like nice and really easy to work with. And I think I've got by on that a lot. True. Like I'm just, I don't know, like I try not to rock the boat.
Yeah.
Obviously if there's something, I'd like to think I'd be able to stand up for myself, you know, if it calls for that. But it's, I think... like a lot of networking is just like someone being like, oh, Wallace, she was great. Like, you know, she was lovely and smiley. You don't need to smile, but like just being a real personable person and making sure that you're just professional in lots of aspects of what you do, you know, even when
you send it an actual invoice instead of just an email.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. It's number one. But yeah, just kind of conducting yourself in a way that people want to work with you, you know.
So how did you get those international contacts?
So I was, it's hard to get them when you're not on the ground. That's what I've really found.
Oh, so you were there.
I was there, yeah. So I lived in Sydney for a long time. So yeah, it's like doing things like going to Big Sound, which is like the kind of industry festival in Brisbane. And just kind of going to the heaps of the gigs and just kind of, you know, chatting to people and being like, what do you do? And blah, blah, blah. And then I think just kind of there's so much of it that's just being in spaces where things are happening. So going to a gig and being like, oh, like if you recognise someone that's in the industry or whatever and someone who you maybe want to work with or whatever, just chill, like, oh, hey, like, oh, I've been meaning to come and say hi.
But you've low-key just, like, stalked them for a really long time.
Low-key stalked
them. You know them. Every aspect about their life and you've moved to a different country to go and find them.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. But it's just, like, it can be real chill. Like, you can just kind of do a, like, a little intro and then follow up.
Like follow-up emails. Yeah. So
like, hey, it was so nice meeting you the other night. I didn't want to annoy you with any questions, but, like, would you be keen to
grab a coffee?
Yeah, exactly.
The power of a coffee with someone can be life changing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Having the confidence to do that though is
I guess it's hard. But sometimes you can just be like accidentally standing next to them at the bar. You're like, hey,
oh my God.
You're Katie or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm Wallace. I'm an artist. I love some of the artists you work with. I'm just, you know, and then leave it at that. You don't need to go hard, but then kind of follow up the next week or whatever. But, you know, I think also if you're doing gigs and there's potentially people that have, like, popped in, just, like, maybe try and find them after the set, if you feel comfortable with that kind of thing. I guess there's less industry in Wellington, but, you know, that would happen a little bit in Sydney and stuff. And or maybe if you see them another time and be like, oh, you were my gig the other week. I thought I saw you. You know, it's I don't know. I think there's so much of just being friendly and professional.
Yeah.
And
having confidence.
Yeah, and you don't need to go. You don't need to have a huge amount of, like, I can be really shy when I don't know people.
Yeah.
But just knowing your worth and being like, hey, this is, if I just, like, one little moment of uncomfortableness and I might get a new contact or a new person who might help me in some way, you know. And industry people know that artists, you know, they know how hard it is and they're so used to it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, by all means, like, don't annoy people, but I don't know, they're used to those conversations and I think just kind of, I think that, like, knowing who some people are, like, doing a little bit of research is always really good. Like, knowing what some, like, A&R people look like and, I don't know. Like, there's so many ways to go about it, but I always have found that it's just not being too intense or...
Just be yourself.
Yeah, just be yourself and be like, hey, I make good music. You should check it out sometime.
Yeah. hey, please.
please. Or, like, you know, if you've got a gig coming up, be like, hey, like, I'd love to put you on the door
for my gig.
That's the time where you want to put people. That's what you want.
Save your door names for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Air quotation people.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, if you've got a big gig coming up, like, just cold emailing some people who might be interested, you know, like, you know, making sure that you're, like, looking after, like, you know, Radioactive and, like, you know, that kind of
the
stuff.
Pals,
and there's... I don't know. You'll always know someone that knows someone that you want to know.
Can we get a replay on that?
Oh, God. This is sound bad enough.
Do you have, like, a funny interaction story or, like, one, like, meeting someone story that sticks out and you want to share?
Oh, God.
Maybe one that's a little bit awkward.
Oh. I, like, 100% do. I'm just trying to...
Don't have to name names.
Okay.
You can give them a fake name if you want to.
Fake name. I'm just trying to think of them. Oh, because I can be really awkward at the best of times.
Welcome to Awkward Talks Podcast.
Oh, so I was getting ready for it was my first headline show in Sydney. It was kind of like, not my first single, but like the first one that I was just like, oh, no, this could be good. It was for Raffled Roses. And I yeah, it was during this single launch. And we were sound checking, and there was a guy who was just like a friend of the owner,
yeah,
who was like, I think he'd already had a couple of drinks. It was like the afternoon. But he was really lovely, and he like came up while we were like just afterwards sound checked, and he was like, oh, what a cool sound. Like, what are you, got a gig tonight, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, are you a musician as well? He's like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm in a band. And I was like, oh, awesome. But we were kind of like busy.
Yeah. It's
bloody Daniel Johns from Silverchair. And my manager was like, you had no idea who that was, did you? And I was, you know, again, yeah, friendly.
Yeah.
But the fact that I asked him, like, are you a musician? He was like, "Who? Where has this girl been living?"
I bet he loved under it, a though. Rock somewhere. Like, quietly. It was just a little bit chuffed.
I'm sure he thought it was hilarious. Yeah, so that was a bit embarrassing. And I'm sure there's been other moments, but I don't know much about rock. it's not really my forte. So that was funny.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. Did I even get his name right? It was Daniel Johns, right? I'm not sure.
I actually don't know.
Anyway, Silverchair, lead singer, like, big deal. And I was just like, oh my God. Yeah, idiot. Yeah.
Love that so for that you.
It was fun. But, you know.
You're still here. You survived. You made it. Yeah. Did he come to the gig?
I think he did, actually. Yeah. There you go. I think he stuck around for a little. I don't think he probably didn't stay for the whole thing, but I was like, yeah, you just stick around and check it out. Oh my God.
You can buy a ticket, though.
Yeah, but you're not getting on the door.
Yeah.
Those are reserved for important music people in the industry. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Do you have a team that works with you?
I do, yeah. So they're all based in Australia, which is a bit, you know, better. It's definitely better if they're, like, on the ground. But I work with an amazing guy called Ben Pearpoint, who has been a really good friend of mine for a long time.
Yeah.
But he looks after me and an amazing singer called Nairi.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, some amazing acts, Jamaica Moana, and, yeah, he looks after quite a few people. So he's batting for me. He's awesome. And then I'm signed with Mushroom for publishing.
Oh, nice. Yep.
Yeah, I don't have a label, but I've had publishing pretty much the whole time, which is, I think, a little bit unusual. Mm. But that's cool. They, like, set up some, like, writing sessions for me and try and get me, like, sync stuff for TV and film and stuff. My music isn't super syncable, which, you know, isn't their fault. But, yeah, so that's great. And then I have a booking agent in Australia as well, Select. Work with Rob there. And then for distribution, I work with Ditto. And I've got a relationship with them where we, like, work on releases together. I know that they've got another side of their thing where they do like a CD Baby thing where you can just kind of upload your music. But I work with some people there. So, yeah, I've kind of, like,
Built a bit of a team.
Definitely mainly just work day to day with my manager, though.
Yeah. And so your manager's based in, that was?
He's in Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like him to be here just because he's my mate as well. Shout out to Ben. I love you.
Shout out to Ben.
But yeah, so that's cool.
Is that helpful, having a team?
I think it's, yeah, no, it definitely is. Yeah. And he's just really good at having, like, those hard conversations and things, where it's just like, it's quite nice being able to be the artist and not be like, la, 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 la.
Yeah.
Even though I'm, like, very, you know, involved in every part of my career.
You can kind of, like, good cop, bad cop it, and then you're able to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be super helpful.
Yeah, he's my muscle.
Oh my gosh.
But it's
a dream.
Because I think, yeah, it's nice being able to step away from some of those, like, they're not bad conversations, but, like, just it tends to be ones about money and things like that.
You guys find each other really naturally, or did you go seeking for a manager? How did that come about?
So I was really good friends with him before he became my manager, which was awesome. I guess it can be it can be really hard to find managers because that's a hard job. Like, yeah. They, especially if you're, you know, even the stage I am at my career now, like, I don't make much money.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're kind of, it's, those people are really unique that are,
yep.
that are willing to go in and bet for you and, like, see the potential and stuff. And I'm not surprised that there's, like, not heaps of them because it's a hard job and it can be a bit thankless and you know, we need more of them. We need to encourage that. But, yeah, it is really hard. And I know I've met some really lovely managers here. Mm. Jack, who looks after Drax, is, like,
true.
Fucking angel. I love him so much.
Full shout out.
Yeah, full shout out. But, yeah, so there's if you do have the opportunity to have a manager, it's really helpful. It's just nice also having someone on your team.
Bounce ideas off.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, figuring out timelines for stuff and, you know, having a bit of a plan for, like, a social media strategy and things. Yeah. It's just nice having a sounding board for that kind of thing. But you can absolutely do a lot of that stuff yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's lots of resources out there to help with that. Mm. But it is really good to have someone who knows how to work in those spaces and knows a few people and stuff.
Yeah, and I would say, like, there is a lot of things that you can do yourself, and this is something I'm currently navigating.
Mm.
And I think, like, being a self-managed artist is, like, more of the norm now than the latter. But also I think it's really important, like, we can't do everything.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, comparing yourself to someone who has a team and it's just you doing everything can be, like, super damaging, I think, to just, like, your mental frame of mind.
Yeah.
So I think, like, it's okay if you're not doing everything that the person who, you know, has a team is doing.
Yeah.
As well as that. But
it's exhausting. Yeah. Like, if you're doing a tour, like, you're having to be tour manager and worrying about all the logistics of stuff, like, the performance can almost sometimes be, like, the last thing you think about, which isn't what it's supposed to be at all. But I take my hat off to anyone who does that because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Like, even just kind of, like, liaising with the venue on the day of, it's just like you've just flown really early in the morning and you're making sure everyone's got all their bags and, like, you know, you've got, like, the hire van and the, like, because I do a lot of, I always do my own tour managing and day to day I do a lot of my stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, it's hard, but it also can be really rewarding.
Super.
And I think it is really good to have, to know how to do all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. Learning how to do, like, all the little different bits purely for the sake of, like, even, you know, eventually if you do get a team or you work with someone else, like, you're able to communicate so much easier when you have, like, even just a surface level understanding of how these things work.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I've done some BVs for different people. they've had, like, a big team around them and haven't realized some, like, basic stuff that the band needs, and it's just like it's really good to know, just to know how to, like, book your own flights and know what your band needs and baggage and know your tech writer. This you gain so many useful skills for, like, all facets of your life as well.
For sure. You know, family holiday, I'm all over it.
Yeah. Oh, easy. Yeah. So all that kind of stuff is so good to learn. And learning it the hard way, like, by just doing it, is you never forget it because it's just like, oh, that's right, it was real shit that time that I didn't pay for extra baggage before I... Oh, sorry. This is talking like this happens to me all the time, but, you know.
A lot of hard learning, but, like, lessons really get drilled in there.
Absolutely.
We do like to do this thing called korero kyu, which is like a little quick fire round. Cool. Just like kind of wrap up what we're talking about.
Sweet.
So, okay. Least favorite genre?
Heavy metal.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
One artist that you're loving right now.
Oh, God. That's really hard. I'm just going to say Jordan Rakai.
Yep. Something you're working towards right now.
I'm working towards an EP.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've got, like, bits and pieces of lots of different songs, and I've just got to figure out what's going to make the cut and what I keep working on.
That's very exciting. greatest passion that's not in the music field.
I love TV. I have shows that I just have on loop. I always, like, watch something to go to bed. Yeah. I watch something while I'm doing design.
Favourite show right now?
Right now, actually, I'm just going to my friend's place to watch Succession tonight.
The
new episode it's very good. But I just finished watching The Last of Us, which was awesome. I was a little bit late to the party on that one. But, like, Gilmore Girls.
Oh, my God.
The West Wing.
Speaking my language.
What else? Parks and Rec. I just have on repeat because they make me feel
comfort
really...
Comfort shows?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Great British Bake Off.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. We're currently binge-watching Downton Abbey.
Love it.
Oh, so good.
The best. Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I feel like we've had a really good chat and I've learnt a lot of things as well. And you're such a beautiful human being. I'm really glad that we were able to have this conversation.
Oh, I'm so glad as well. When you first were talking about doing...
Yeah,
you know,
ages ago.
Whatever
oh God,
it was going to be, I was
chat.
Like, I want to be involved in this. So, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that you've been able to be a part of the whole journey and will continue to, surely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to give yourself a little shout out? Where can people find you? Everyone probably already knows who you are, but...
I guess I'm most active on Instagram. It's my favourite medium. I've got to change my handle at some point, but it's Wallace with underscores around the two L's.
Yeah.
And then, on Facebook, Spotify.
Cool.
Check me a follow and then you know when new things come out and stuff.
Go get those plays up on Spotify.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Thanks. Awesome. Well, yeah, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow us on Instagram at awkwardtalksnz. And I think that is all from us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.